Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. We are presented by Green Ventures Landscaping. Property managers, if you manage it, they maintain it. Visit greenventureslandscaping.com. We are going to be joined by Scott Nickel, Predators Assistant General Manager, coming up at 7:30 on the program. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit a little bit later in the show at 8 o'clock. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Joe, on the offensive side of the ball, we've not seen the Titans do a ton in free agency. We talked yesterday with PK about the interior of the offensive line and some concerns that I think still exist there, so we'll see what happens on that front. Most of their moves in free agency to this point have been on the defensive side of the ball, and we've gone through that. They did bring in Wandale Robinson, which you feel good about. I mean, Wandale Robinson's a good player, okay? But Daniel Bellinger coming in, so you've changed things around at tight end. But, you know, what's going to happen with Calvin Ridley? The draft will change this conversation to some degree. Now, to what degree, we'll see. You know, if you go edge rusher at number four overall, who's going to be there at number 35 potentially for receiver? I would assume they're drafting a receiver at some point here. But as things stand now, Joe, there has, to this point, not been any changes at running back. You've still got Pollard and Spears. You have added Wandale Robinson to your wide receiver room. We don't know yet on the Calvin Ridley front. I think it makes some sense to keep him around at this point based on what else is out there in free agency. You know, you swapped out Chig for Daniel Bellinger on the tight end front. How are we feeling about the skill positions that are surrounding Cam Ward right now? And is there concern, to your point, Joe, that this, what they've done so far this offseason, hasn't yet been enough, knowing that the draft is still coming as it relates to surrounding Cam Ward and trying to upgrade as much as possible in one offseason?
You know, I think this kind of goes to what we've talked about so much, and we talked about it earlier this week with both of these teams. Don't be bad and boring. And I think if you're a Titans fan right now, first of all, I think that you should be encouraged. Like, some people are, I think, going a little too far with the anger over the Jets, Giants stuff, because some of them are good players. Now, some of them are just throw-ins. But again, it's like with the throw-ins, I mean, every team has plan B depth throw-ins, right? Like, does it really matter if it's a former Jet or whoever, right? It's kind of whoever. I mean, at the top of the list here, they've gotten some guys who are good, who, yes, they have history with. And with their coaching and with some of the talent they've added, some of the talent they have, I think that we're seeing a pretty good job of upgrading this defense. Like, I'm somewhat optimistic that, and there's more work to be done in the draft for sure, but I'm somewhat optimistic that they are going to pretty quickly look better on defense and maybe have a chance to be pretty solid. But so far, that's at the expense of the offense. And you just laid it out there, Robbie, especially just the weapons and this question in the middle of the offensive line, I really don't like that combination of things right now. So at this point, with a lot more information to come, it just feels like a team that's going to be in a bunch of like 19 to 13 games. And my God, we're so sick of bad and boring football. Now, can the defense be good enough that they can win some of those games? Maybe, but yeah, they have serious work to do to make their offense dangerous. And again, give Cam Ward a chance. Like, right now, I would say you're not incomplete, not done. You have to keep saying that. But at this moment, you have not done nearly enough to help that kid.
I would agree. I think there's still a lot of meat on the bone just in terms of what I'd like to see done. Now, look, you know, having said all that, I mean, the Titans could go sign Juwan Jennings today, for all I know, and add him to the room, and then you're having a different discussion about, you know, what does that mean for the draft? All these things. So it's limited in terms of being able to have this conversation on March the 12th with guys that are still out there, and then obviously the draft coming up after that. I'm just looking at it right now, and without a massive jump individually from guys like Chim DK and Elik Iomanner at wide receiver, like you're looking at it right now at receiver, and you're like, okay, Wandale Robinson, he's a good player, nice signing to bring him in. You know, what's Calvin Ridley going to be? Like, is Calvin Ridley at this stage of his career coming off an injury and with back-to-back seasons, Joe, of starting really slow? Like, he's just been a slow starter. And at this point, I'm just going to assume Calvin Ridley's going to be a slow starter until he shows me that he's not. But he's going to be 32 in December. You know, what's left for Calvin Ridley? Like, just assuming that they keep him, what does that look like for them next year? I don't know. I don't know what the answer to that question is going to be. You know, Pollard came on at the end of last year. And, you know, as we've talked about multiple times, with as slow of a start as it was for the Titans running game, you know, Pollard actually ended up having a career best season in terms of just purely yardage, right? He ended up with 1,082 yards. So it's not like you know, Pollard Spears as a running back combo is completely, it's like terrible or anything. I mean, they could get by another year with Tony Pollard as the primary running back, I think. But I think there's an opportunity, you know, when you see some of the guys that were out there in free agency, you thought about, you know, what would Kenneth Walker look like here? Or what would, you know, what does Tyler Allgeier look like, you know, paired up with somebody here? You know, and, you know, now everybody's attention on the running back front has turned to Jeremiah Love, and we'll see what happens there. Obviously, you feel like that would be a pretty big upgrade if that's the route that they go. But I just think you still look at the weapons for the Titans, and it's probably a little underwhelming, right? And not that I expected it to be that much different. I mean, it's not like there were a ton of guys out there in free agency that I thought were game changers. But, you know, you begin the free agent conversation, and it's like, all right, well, what would it look like if a guy like Alec Pierce was in here with his big play ability? Or what would it look like if Kenneth Walker made it to the market and the Titans made a serious push for him, right? And for it to be as, I guess, limited as it's been to this point at the skill position part of it, I still think you look at this offense right now, and there are some real questions as to how explosive they're going to be able to be given the roster that they have.
Yeah, no doubt. And still those questions, like the Ridley thing's a big question, and I'm not anti Ridley here next year, but I'm also not excited about it. And definitely the he switches systems, it takes him a while. That, you know, seems to be a thing. So you have to keep that in mind along with the health thing. And look, again, all of this as we're talking about it, this may be lining up for Jeremiah Love at 4, yep, and whatever receiver is best available at 35. And then it's like, okay, well, that's just was the plan. They looked at the whole thing and it was like, Love's our top player. We're going to have a chance to take him. We're going to take him. And then, you know, the receiver draft certainly stretches quality into the second round and probably beyond that. And so there you go. And then, and I think you're, you know, in terms of addressing things, that makes sense. Now, it doesn't mean it's the right choices. Again, I'm still a Bailey guy at 4, but at least maybe that is the answer. Maybe that's what, and we just won't, you know, we're not going to know. In the meantime, you know, a Jennings is out there. But other than that, there's just not a lot more you're going to do in free agency. And I just don't know at all where, you know, you're going to solidify the interior. There's going to be, I mean, that storyline, unfortunately, is going to be just a lot of unknowns and hope that people take steps forward as opposed to getting someone proven to go in there. And I just think that's unfortunate.
So as we sit here today on March the 12th, are you concerned about the weapons that are surrounding Cam Ward on the offensive side of the ball? We'll take your thoughts on that, 615-737-1025. More coming up next, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
depending on how you want to define it, the Patriots got 8 starters from free agency last year. 8. Yep. And you can microwave a franchise now. And if I'm circling somebody who's that this year, it'd be Tennessee, where they go out and they get, and by the way, it wasn't like, with the exception of Stephon Diggs, these were not famous players that the Patriots were getting. Milt Williams, we knew was a stud, but we didn't know it was going to be that good. But it's like Robert Spillane. It's Mac Hollins. Guys are going to just go out and give you competent snaps. And when I look at this Tennessee mini rebuild, I'm seeing Jonathan Franklin Myers, who's at the top of the heap, who's awesome. And again, you want to talk about how important pass rush up the middle is. Franklin Myers can give you that. But then Cordell Flott, Alante Taylor, Daniel Bellinger is going to give you a bunch of confidence stamps. Wandale Robinson is going to be a volume shooter at wide receiver. I wish they could have added Alec Pierce, but that obviously wasn't in the cards. He hasn't even reached free agency. It just felt like there's a lot, and I don't know how you feel about the Titans, but there's a lot of earmarks that just like... It feels like they're this year's Patriots, just in the sense that there's professional coaching, where there wasn't last year, same as Gerard Mayo and Mike Vrabel, a bunch of terrible players being replaced by competence, and then Cam Ward, who got really comfortable in the pocket towards the end of the year, was using his legs better, didn't look like the game was too fast for him ever, but certainly understood it the last few weeks of the season. I'm a little concerned about the shoulder there because he hurt it in the last game of the season diving into the end zone. But it just feels like if anybody's going to be this year's New England, it's going to be Tennessee.
That's Kevin Clark with the This Is Football with Kevin Clark podcast, talking about the Titans. Interesting stuff there from him on comparing it to last season's Patriots. You know, the weapons part of this is interesting. You know, he talked about Wandale Robinson there coming in. A lot of moves that have been made on the defensive side of the ball. I just still look at the offensive side, and I think there's a lot of questions. People on the text line seem to agree with that. Now, Colin Shelbyville says, I'm not concerned that Cam won't have a chance to compete. I just believe we're going to be outgunned in every game we play unless we find the next A.J. Brown at wide receiver in the second round. Keith says, I think drafting and developing weapons on offense is the right approach. Big spending on offensive weapons seems not to work out all that much, or at least until the offensive line is addressed. You know, the Love part of this, you know, if they draft Jeremiah Love at number 4 overall, you start to think, well, okay, how long has that been their plan? And if that's the case, like, how much differently do you feel about the weapons around Cam Ward right now, Joe, if they end up with Jeremiah Love at number 4 overall?
Well, different for sure. And he is a pass catcher. Yep. I think the 40 time got the attention, but I will say, as and we know how much of a fan I am of, let's all gather around and watch dudes exercise for a week. But I will say, you look pretty good in those pass-catching drills. I think Notre Dame used him a ton. You know, maybe in a different offense, he's used a little bit more in that way. But I think he's absolutely a three-down back. I know people don't get excited hearing about pass pro, but it's such an important thing to, like, not have to take someone off the field.
Yeah.
Because they're – and pass pro is a huge part of that job. Huge part of being a running back is that you're able to, a handful of times in a game, know exactly what you're supposed to do against a blitz and get in there with physicality and punch. And sometimes those are some of the biggest plays for an offense in a football game are when you pick up a blitz, your back does exactly what he's supposed to do. Everybody has the protection right. And boom, that deep shot is there because the defense left itself vulnerable. And so even that part of it to me is exciting that he is really good at that. He's just a really good all-around solid technician of the position. But is he coming in this league and is he going to be Saquon-level difference maker? Is he going to be Bijan level, Jahmyr Gibbs level? I'm not saying the same. You know, those are all different styles of players, but that level of, like, he moves the needle. Like, he is just a problem for people. He's a big play guy. He's a high-volume guy. Durability is a big part of it, too. I think that's all checks out with him. Again, if they do it, I think it's exciting. I think you've got yourself a potential new star. You can obviously go harken back to McNair, George, and those drafts, and it's like, is this going to be, you know, is Ward Love going to be for 10 years plus, like, a huge part of this franchise and a huge part of them having success? I mean, it could be exactly what they should do, but again, he can't just be like a really good player who gets you 13, 1400 yards. He has to be better than that.
Are
And
we,
I just don't know. Nobody knows for sure, until these guys get in this league and start strapping the pads on and playing against NFL players.
dismissing the idea maybe too early? And by we, I mean all of us collectively in this draft process, that receivers just no, it's just off the board now at number four for the Titans. Like, is that too much of a leap to make based on, the testing with Carnell Tate, and he's gonna have his pro day coming up, so we'll see what happens there. I've watched some Tyson clips and some thoughts on him, and he's I don't know that would even enter my thought process at number four. I know that you would take Mekhi Lemon number one overall, but do you think that we're dismissing, receiver at number four preemptively as a collective here?
That I mean, the consensus seems to be that's a little rich for any of these guys.
Yes.
I think Tate, like again, Tate's 40 time isn't like disappointing or surprising to me, but I think it would have had to be absurdly disappointing the other way with everything else he offers for him to be a top five guy. Absolutely. If the Titans were to take Mekhi Lemon at four, I'm not upset about it. I think the reaction from the league would be, man, that's high for any receiver. And I know a lot of people have him as like the second or third receiver in the draft. I think he's the best. But so like yeah, I'm here for it. But that seems to be the consensus. I also look I like teams that don't participate in groupthink. I mean, everybody's got their own rankings, and I know that didn't work out for Mike Mayock, but like I appreciated that he made weird picks all the time. And people were like, "Oh, I thought that was a third round grade, but okay, you took him at number 11 overall." And that might have been of a little bit extreme, but yeah, it seems that way. But it seems that it's just we're not going to see a receiver until maybe we get into 7, 8, 9, or at earliest. But again, sometimes that the group think expectations are wrong and you get a surprise.
You do, and it seems like every year in the top 10 somewhere, there's a pick where you're just like, huh? Okay,
Right.
cool. Like, and I'm sure that'll happen at some point this year too. But it feels like at this point it would be a pretty big surprise if the Titans ended up going receiver at number four overall. And I think when this whole thing started, that was not the case. Like, we almost expected them to go receiver at number four overall. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Preds assistant GM Scott Nickel. We'll get into a big game tonight for the Predators and the emergence of some young players, including a guy like Ryan Ufko, who has looked very good so far. We'll get into all that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. Massive win for the Predators the other night against the Kraken. They are back at it against Vancouver coming up tonight. And to help us talk more about that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Predators Assistant General Manager Scott Nickel to the program. Brought to you by Arrow Exterminators. Going beyond the call, Arrow Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. Scott, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
Appreciate you taking time to be with us. I want to start this. Do you have a business card? And if so, how long is it? You are the Preds Assistant GM. You're the General Manager of the Milwaukee Admirals. You're the Director of Player Development. I don't know that I've ever met a more impressive series of job titles than that.
Well, it's a lot of hockey all the time, which is fantastic. So I get it brings a smile to my face when you see the Director of Player Development with all our guys there and see our young guys grow through the system, and even with our Milwaukee coaches, everyone got to see the other night with all our young guys kind of pulling the same rope and helping out the team and get a huge win in Seattle.
Well, no doubt. And Ryan Ufko, obviously, just a highlight reel goal the other night. Anybody who's paid attention to Milwaukee this year knows that he's having a great year. What have you thought of him so far at the NHL level? I mean, he looked like Roman Josi on that goal the other night, but I think overall he's looked really solid, really comfortable. Overall, what do you make of the year that Ufko is having?
Well, I think he said he looks comfortable, and it's only his third game, right? So Nothing is too for Ryan, like their fourth round pick, and nothing's too big for. There's no moment too big for him. Like he's so even keeled, and he's been all world for us. And in Milwaukee, leads our team in points. And it's not even the points; it's like every situation he plays, he's out there on the penalty kill with Kevin Gravel, our number one unit. You know, he runs our number one power play. He's out there 6-on-5, 5-on-6, like. We saw a little bit of him last year. I think he played one game at the end of the year, but and then I think that was a really good taste for him to see what it was all about. He was okay, but he was absolutely this year when I called him that he was getting called up. He is absolutely ready. You know, it wasn't every young kid wants to go. Okay, I want to play in the NHL right now. Yeah, maybe they're not ready, but after the year, his start to our year in Milwaukee and driving our team, he's the head of the snake for our team in Milwaukee, and it's great to see him get a chance here.
So, Scott, obviously Matthew Wood, another guy who looks the part. Clearly, you see the bright future there, and a guy who has moved around some, looks comfortable down the middle. What's been the conversation, you know, with him in terms of, like, ultimately where he settles in the NHL long term, and what do you think about, I guess, that versatility that he brings?
I'd love to see him play center. Who doesn't want a 6'4" centerman, right? Who can make plays and see the ice and create offense, right? So I would love to see him up there. And this is a good, you know, he's kind of thrown in the fire a little bit with moving to the middle, but he's wanted to play center even since development camp. He was like, hey, I can play center. He's a smart kid. He knows we're not really deep up the middle. So he's thinking, if I can be a centerman, I'd probably play here a long time. Even when he went down to Milwaukee for the Olympic break, he wanted to get a few reps at center as well. So it's always been in his head. I know we've, as management group and the coaches and stuff, we've talked about it. So I think he's doing great. He's going to have some growing pains, but I think if you look at his face-off percentage, it's for a young kid in the NHL, he's been hanging in there. So I think it's great. The more centers we can have, the better, and then we can always flip into the wing. But like I said, with Woody's hockey sense and the playmaking ability, and he's very systematically detailed, that I think it should be a good fit.
Scott, you know, obviously a lot of Predators fans very excited long term about Tanner Molendijk and the player that he's going to be at the NHL level. What have you thought in his first year in Milwaukee of the way that Molendijk has looked to this point?
Yeah, he came in, tough year, hurt in camp, came in, missed a little bit of chunk of our camp, but he's been growing. I think you put Molendijk, you put Gibson in there, your Cole O'Hara that no one really talks about, but I would say don't bet this kid out. I would put a earmark beside him. He's been doing real well for us. But for Molly, he's just getting getting used to pro hockey. This is a really good time for him because – you know, Ryan Ufko's gone. This is our conversation with Molendijk. Like, if you want to be the go-to guy, this is it. You're number one PP. You're going to start killing penalties. I think he played 20-plus minutes a night last night, Molendijk did for us. So this is his 20 games to kind of say, okay, yeah, he's in a little bit same mix, a little bit younger than Ufko, but relatively the same path where he's going to get the ball. He's going to run with it this year. Hopefully not. We'll see if what the year trends and maybe get him a game. If not, then be where your feet are and just drive that Milwaukee Admirals team into the playoffs.
All right, we keep going down the list here, Scott. Fedor Svechkov, you know, a guy who, you know, obviously some major opportunity this year. You know, again, for people, you have to remember things like, you know, he's 22 years old. I mean, he's young. There's been some progress, some ups and downs. How have you seen him, like, handle that? And what do you think is ahead for him?
Yeah, I think with just the way he handled it, I think you look at the Seattle game. I don't think anybody was really good in the first period. And for a young player, I think if that was Svech at the beginning of the year, I think he wouldn't have been able to grab his game. Where he grabbed his game and he was really good in the second and third period. So I think I see the growth in those little things where the maturity, and I see his power and his skating through the neutral zone has been really good since he's been up since the Olympic break. So I'm excited for him. I think everybody it takes a little bit of time, but these games are, you know, these are all playoff games going down the stretch. And I think with a lot of these kids that are up here, we've gone on some long runs in Milwaukee, so that they know how to play in those kind of games. I totally get it. It's a totally different league, and the stress and the pressure, but they've been in some of these tough games. So I'm ready. I'm excited to see the whole team and how they react.
Well, to that point, Scott, I mean, look, the trade deadline is come and gone, and we've seen some guys move on from here, some guys that played a really important roles, and now you've got younger players that you've been developing, that you've been watching over the last couple of years here, step into those roles, and they're doing it while you're right in the heat of a playoff race. So, you know, how much does the situation that those guys are in, given where the team is right now fighting for a playoff spot, how beneficial is that, do you think, like long-term in terms of playing in high-pressure, high-stakes games? And how have you seen those guys maybe react to it to this point?
Yeah, I think all, like, with it's opportunity, right? And then they've played in these games, but it's just, that's where your growth comes from. You can go through video, you can talk till you're blue in the face, and tell these kids live it and feel it, and the energy of the, you know, energy of the fans, and just every face-off battle of a hold-up. If it was the smallest detail, I think if you looked at Kemmel, his first game, he got picked off on the inside, and they scored the power play goal. I think it was maybe against Boston. Like, you can go through all the video you want, but if you don't live that, if you don't know that guy's going to pick here, man, that guy's, it's like moving a cement block. I might want to roll to the inside. That's what they have to do, and that's what they're getting on the job training. They've had a little bit in Milwaukee with it, but this is a totally different animal. And some are going to have some good games. You got to be patient. Some are going to elevate their game. Some are going to, you know, struggle on a game to game. But as a whole, I think they're ready, and they can lean on our older guys. Like, we're just, you know, your Forsberg, your Stamkoses, and look at Roman Josi with Afko. Like, we have a good group of older guys. Like, they're not going to expect these young guys to do all the heavy lifting. Like, that's what the team is for. They all pull their own weight, do your job, and it seems like they're hanging in there. They're right there, so it's an exciting stretch.
Scott, last thing for you here. Specifically on LaRue, I mean, he's been highly productive in Milwaukee. I love the way that he plays the game. I mean, he's a very, you know, straight-line type of player. I love kind of the attitude that he brings as well. And, you know, I know maybe it took him a little bit longer this year to get his shot in the NHL than maybe he thought heading into it. How much, I guess, more ready for the NHL do you think he is now, given everything, you know, the experience he got in the league last year and what he's done in Milwaukee this year so far to prepare himself for another shot here?
That was the best thing for Zach to play in Milwaukee this year. Like, I talked about Ryan Ofko, but Zach, he took it to another level. Like, a maturity. He had a couple of hiccups, which is good because he plays with the heart on his sleeve. But he wanted the puck. He was our, when we were down on goal, or we needed a big wall play, or, you know, breakaway, how many game-winning goals he had. He was the guy he wanted the puck on his stick. And he produced. He was a big-time player for us in Milwaukee, and he got that confidence and that swagger. He has a couple, he could have been up a few different times, but he got some injuries and some other family stuff. But he's ready. It's almost like Ofko. Like, these kids want to be here right away, but they're not ready. Now they're ready. Now they can step in. Now they got confidence. Like, I thought his line with Woody and Schaaf, they dragged guys into the battle on against Seattle. So would he have done that last year? Probably not. So that now they're closer to being a polished product, I guess you could say, even though they're super young. But yeah, I think it was the best thing for him. And I think if you ask him that, he'll probably agree with you. It's so got a lot of attributes. He reminds you a little bit of Bunting, how he can score and be kind of drive the net, stay net front. And so I think that's a really good, that's kind of his comparable in my mind. So he's got a lot of big shoes to fill.
Well, another huge game tonight for the Preds taking on Vancouver. They are 1 point out of a playoff spot as we enter into action today. Scott, thanks so much for your time as always, man. Really appreciate you taking time to be with us, and good luck tonight. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Scott Nickel, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by Aero Exterminators. Going beyond the call, Aero Exterminators, a proud partner with the Nashville Predators. Preds in action tonight, taking on Vancouver. Out west, so it's a late one tonight, 9 o'clock, the puck drop between the Predators and the Vancouver Canucks. We'll have the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rexroad, 102.5 The Game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rexroad.
There was a lot of meat, you know what I mean? And, of course, I ate all of it.
I need some fiber. Can you crop this photo for me?
Oh, my filming is, you know.
Elite.
Pretty.
Spectacular.
Pretty good.
You edit the video?
She does not disrobe anywhere near me.
She's completely dressed.
So, yes, I'll wear a real shirt again today, too.
Joe, do you have pointy nipples that show through the polo?
Two with good length.
I got length, you know.
Built was real. Just ask all of those women.
Built to pound.
Let's get back to my feet.
It is time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Ian Safar coming through as he does every day. Joe, the floor is yours.
Yep, not sure where to go now after that. It started out like thematically tied to what I'm about to talk about, and then it took a left turn into territory I don't want to talk about. But I think sometimes you guys are really just my support group, you know? And so I'm coming to you today to tell you that, you know, the month of February, it is pretty funny because I chose February, the shortest month of the year, to do like a super healthy month. You know, dry people do dry January. I did dry February, 28 days. Okay, come on, yeah. But month of February, and really, I mean, some of this, it really is just, it's just practical. And the reality for me is, like, I'm not buying new clothes. Like, I mean, every once in a while, yeah, buy like a new shirt. I'm not buying like new pants because I don't fit into my pants. I'm not doing it, okay? And so the month of March, I mean, I'm about to be on the road a lot. And, yeah, just yesterday is a great example of if you, I was at Bridgestone for 12 hours. And so you're working and you're just, and then there's the buffet in front of you. So what do? Let's see. Ribs at 9:30 in the morning.
Cheesecake.
Some steak tips, some chicken breasts, some asparagus and beans and stuff like that. But also, yes, I got the creme brulee cheesecake against my better judgment. And that's just day one. That's day one of postseason basketball. In the month of February, I didn't drink alcohol. I ate extremely healthy. I was in the gym almost every day with the idea of, okay, we're going to, again, I don't do the scale anymore. I mean, lifting weights, I've realized that like the scale, it just doesn't, I don't do it. I don't do the scale. It's all about fit. It's about looseness of pants. Okay. It's all it is. These pants, I have these jeans that are flannel jeans, and Katie bought them for me before the Olympics in Pyeongchang because it was going to be insanely cold. So they're like, it's basically like jeans that are also like long underwear inside the jeans. Okay. They're the only jeans that fit me.
The line jeans, yes.
Yes. They're the only jeans that fit me, and not long ago, I swear, they were like a little, yeah, they were loose. They were too loose. The buttons are fighting for their lives now, okay? And so I went through that entire month, did all that stuff. I'm like, this will move the needle and set me up to be fine in March. And basically, like, nothing changed. Like, basically nothing changed. I swear to you, if I did the same thing, like, 3 years ago, 2 years ago, it would have been a dramatic difference. So this is a very depressing rant. I mean, this is you get to a certain age and things get harder, but it's like, if you are that good And I mean, seriously, I was really good. Like not eating, at night. I fasted like 16 hours basically and only ate during an 8 hour window. And I mean, I ate really like I ate apples and blueberries and lean protein and like really like nothing changed. So should I just absolutely go hog wild this month and just assume this is just my body for forever? Or if I do that, am I going to be having to wear sweatpants to work?
Well, I mean, that was kind of my first thought was whatever you do, let's make sure we got a pair of pants for you. Okay. That's step one. We need to have some pants for you. Number two, I mean, I take all this, Joe. I mean, I know how dedicated you've been to the gym. I mean, it's been a months long process at this point from a gym standpoint. And I'm going to assume that there's just been a dramatic buildup of muscle in your body. And that's what's maybe taking it a little bit longer than you're used to when it comes to the genes part of this. So I'd stick with it. Give it a couple more months. You'll start to lose some of that. But I think there's some strengthening that's taking place, even into your core.
There is some strengthening. However, I don't think that I have a bulging six-pack here that's like...
Well, not yet.
Oh, my God, the muscle is making it so hard to button these jeans. yeah, I mean, it's a nice thought, though. I appreciate that.
No, prime I'm stronger. Sylvester Stallone in there for too long.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, I'm definitely stronger, which is good. Like, I mean, I'm going to keep doing it just like, yeah, at some point you get into the mindset of death avoidance, and that's basically right around where I am. Someone texting, avoid anything with added sugar. Yeah, like, I mean, look, here and there, again, yesterday I totally just completely went off the cliff. So, you know.
I feel like you have to do that, you know, every now and then, though, or you're just going to go crazy.
Yeah, but the problem is, you know, Oklahoma City, I'm hoping to be able to just like stay in my room and like go, you know, go be in the hotel gym. But like then Chicago, I have all these people I have to see staying with family. Like it's just, you know, it's not going to, and then the Final Four, it's a bleep show. And so, I mean, it's just, I just need to be able to get through April 8th or whatever, like with clothing. And I'm not spending, man. I'm not. If I have to do like, you know, like if the buttons pop, I mean, I guess I'll just do like what, like a safety pin or something.
When's the last time you bought a pair of pants? Not Katie, you.
I mean
the 90s.
No, I mean like we have gone shopping for like, well, it doesn't really count because like when I married my cousin, aka.
Officiated the wedding.
Officiated his wedding. That was a suit though. That was a suit a couple years ago. Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, it's a long time for sure. So, and again, I have no interest in doing this. Austin says just get hyperthyroidism and you will drop 30 pounds in a month. You know, another thing with this is people are doing the Ozempic stuff, right? That's what somebody suggests. I don't want to do that. That stuff scares me. I don't want to do it. It freaks me, especially if it has to be a shot. Hell no. No.
I don't trust that stuff either, but I don't know. People seem to enjoy it. I have no idea.
Yes, people seem to be shriveling up on it. no thanks. But thank you for listening, folks. You've been a good support group.
Man.
I'll keep you updated on my progress as I bulge.
Drop trowel. I'm going to stick this in your ass. Can't wait to find out what you've eaten today.
Yeah,
I expect hourly updates.
I'll bring the full menu tomorrow. I'll let you guys know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports with us coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.